Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. How much time do we have? 15. Okay. Awesome. One thing that my wife and I don't want to, we don't ever just assume that we're just giving you what you're supposed to have. We also like to leave a little bit of time if there are any questions that anybody has so that we can answer them, so that if there's something that you feel that you need to be have a little bit more understanding on, that we leave a little bit of time for that. So if there are any questions, I'd like to leave that open.
You spoke about the spirit of Saul versus the spirit of David. Is there an actual name for that spirit, like if you were praying?
Yes, it's called opposite of God.
Well, the Bible makes it very clear. After Saul disobeys, it says that rebellion is as witchcraft. It says his stubbornness and his rebellion was as witchcraft to the Lord. And so it's the spirit of witchcraft working in the church. It's the spirit of rebellion and stubbornness, not wanting to let go and let God.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And like she said, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And a lot of times we don't realize, we think that we're just doing things our own way. You know, I found a better way to do it. I think I'm just going to do it this way, and then we'll get the same result. But even if you look farther on, this is the scripture where that I mentioned earlier about his eyes go to and fro. If you look at the king Asa, or Asa as we say, that he went to the king of Egypt to help him win a war. Now, he went, he did that, he got the help, and he won. He got the victory. But that was not the way the Lord was saying to do it. He did not go to God and get God's help, God's answer, for God to move him into the victory. And so the prophet reprimanded him and said, you know what? There's a sickness you're going to get. It's going to be unto your death. Sorry, too late. You know, you were very foolish. The Lord wanted to show himself mighty through you, but you went an entirely different way. So that is a huge detriment. And so like Robin said, if that's something that you see, it's probably a good bet that you want to pray against the spirit of rebellion.
What kind of wisdom can you offer to worship leaders who are wanting to usher in the river of God, but you're submitted, obviously, to a particular form?
Very good question, because a lot of times I've taken a lot of liberties as the Lord has brought me up in worship. And it's actually, in some instances, caused me not to be invited back to certain places. But I was, here's the thing. I always tell people, be willing to submit, but also be willing to be hated. Be willing to be kicked out. Lord, if I am going to be kicked out because I did your will, then I shouldn't be there. So if you want to, and I'm not saying to rebel against your leadership. What I'm saying is there are ways that you can do it. Let's say they say, I want song one, song two, song three. If song one is only supposed to be 6 minutes long, then what I would do practically is maybe omit 45 seconds of that and add in something prophetic or something spontaneous or something like that. And as you do that and people begin to see, wow, God is bigger than our method. God is bigger than our form. Then likely you gain some more liberties and more liberties and more liberties. And then before you know it, the form changes. I've seen that happen. It's happened with me a few times. So I think that that's probably a good way to start. And then if you want to push outside of the boundaries a little bit, see if you get kicked or shot or whatever. And you know, you have a, it'll open up a door for you to ask God, Lord, okay, where, what do you want me to do now? Should I be here? Should I go? Should I get shot again?
I appreciate this teaching so much. I appreciate you all coming to Rochester. Bob Jones came here many years ago when he was alive, and he had us to pray. And as an intercessor, the Lord began to show me there was this dark cloud over this region, over Rochester, Buffalo, and Syracuse. And he showed me there was witches networking back and forth, and that we as intercessors, people that pray, we were pressing in, but there was a brick wall, and we've allowed ourselves to be held back. Can you explain how we can break through? Because he said once we break through, that's when we're going to see the glory.
Thank you. That's also a very good question, because one thing that I've seen, and I'm sure my wife can testify, that once you stop fighting from a place of trying to figure out the strategy and come from a place of, Lord, you will give the strategy when I bow myself in humility to you. I love this story. Many of you have heard of the minister David Hogan, right? Okay, if you haven't, he's a minister down in, he was in Mexico for a long time. I'm not sure. I'm sure he's still got a ministry there. But he travels all around. And a story that he told that has never left me was he was walking through a jungle, and wouldn't you know it, one of the most territorial animals that you can ever come across, a gorilla, came out and met him in the road. And he was just like, okay, if I try to go one way, he's going to do this. If I try to go this way, he's going to do this. Well, he said, what was my strategy? He said, I got down on my face and I bowed. And he said, that gorilla got up, walked away, and he got passage to go on through. So I feel like if we can come to a place and say, Father, I don't know anything. Nothing that I've learned is going to help me except what is poured out from your lips right now. So if I can come to a place right now of not being so focused on all the witchcraft and be more focused on you and how I can bow and submit to you and then allow you to pour through me how we're going to go forward, then we'll see so much more happen, so much more move. I mean, we've seen it over and over and over. Even things that we're not praying for, things are get broken through because we decide to humble ourselves and see him move. There are times when you won't do anything except worship and submit. Then there are times what he'll do is say, this is what you'll do now. Because so many times we come in, we'll go in and worship, but we'll say, you know what, I'm going to go in and sing some songs until I can get a strategy to do this. So your focus is really the strategy. So what you're going in, one of the things I wrote in the book was, as prophetic worship leaders or even as prophets, we so focus on the revelation. We so focus on the prophecy and not the Lord. Like we're going to the Lord because of revelation and prophecy. No, we go to the Lord because he's worthy. And then he will open up things to us as he desires. Like I said, God is not a magic trick. He is a person who desires for you to overcome the stuff in the atmosphere. But you've got to come to him because he is. And then he'll pour it out.
And that's really what I've seen, that the enemy comes to distract you so that you won't see the prize. Because each one of us have a high calling that has a prize. And so if we don't see the prize and we're distracted by all of the witchcraft and all of the things that the enemy's doing, and we're just like, oh my gosh, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're doing, then we will never know what God is doing. We will never move into what God is doing, because, and see, that's what I love. I have sure faith that Jesus really is the way. Where there seems to be no way, I know that if I keep my eyes on him, he will show me the way. And so, you know, you could pick your story, whether it's Goliath, David and Goliath, whether it's being thrown in a, in the lion's den, whether it's like Jesus himself, people are seeking to kill you. David, they were seeking to kill him. God always made a way. He always made a way. He always made a way. When the altar, when the ark returns, you will always know the way. When the ark returns, you will always know the way. David couldn't do anything until he restored the ark. He said, I have to have the presence. I've got to have the presence of God. If I don't have the presence of God, they will eat me alive. They will get away with everything that they're doing. But he says, I know if I establish the presence, if I bring the ark back, he says, I'm sure he'll fight for me. I'm sure he'll give me the land. I'm sure that he'll give me their heads. And he did. He did.
I think I have a perfect example for you as well. There was a time we were going through something with one of our kids recently, and it was just awful. We say things that were so godly and made so much sense, and it was like it could not get through, could not get through. And our child is godly. And I was like, why can we not break through with all this wonderful godly knowledge? And one day, and we were talking about the position of worship. The position of worship is a lifestyle, you guys. So I'm not saying you got to say, I got to focus on bowing right now. You know, no. No, you say, Lord, I live bowed before you. I'm not perfect, but when you speak, I'm listening. I am not so attuned to myself and my affairs that I can't see you. So one day I was just on my bed and poof, he flashed an image before my eyes that there was something on the roof, a spirit on the roof above her room. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go up there as an act of faith now, as an act of faith. I'm going to go up there and establish an altar of worship before you, Lord. And I went up there, I climbed up on the roof at night so nobody would think I was one of the crazy ones. And I just began to worship. I didn't pray against anything. I worshiped him. And I got down. A few weeks later, here's my daughter. The Lord showed me this and said, he brought so much truth and he said this, this and that. And I'm sitting there like, he's telling you, he said to you everything that your mother and I have been saying. I mean, this is just, on the one hand, I was like, Why didn't you hear when I said it? But then on the other hand, it's like, God, you are so much wiser than we are. And so it's such a perfect example. We go in. That's a whole entire teaching on establishing altars of worship. So, Father, we thank you for this time that we've had. Any other questions you guys have? We may have a small time later, but...
That's a privilege that we have. You got to lay hold of your privilege. You get to displace the enemy. You literally get to dethrone him and enthrone God. That's a privilege that God has designated and given to you. And so when James was saying, it was like there was a spirit over her room, and he went up and he displaced that spirit and said, the God of James and Robin will be established over her room, over her house, over our house. And so it just meant so much for the Lord to show us that breakthrough in her life. Because he's saying weeks, but it was months. We had been contending with this certain area of her life. And so I was just like, I don't know why it's this one thing she can't let go of. I don't know what this is that she will, you know, it's like it's been given over to the enemy. And then the Lord gave him the strategy and said, get up above it. Get up above it and then tear it down.
Let him send you where he wants to send you. To worship quickly. In 2002, in January, 6 months before, an intercessory team was going to do some prayer work at the Summer Palace outside of Beijing. The Lord told me to go to the top of the Summer Palace and worship. Don't attack anything. I had no authority. There's a 30-foot-tall female Buddha inside the shrine at the top of the Summer Palace. 7 times I walked around it. The 6th time, a stench came out from inside. All I did was worship. It would be like walking around this entire old church one trip. The people that were there, my interpreters, told me something changed. All I did was worship. That's when he sends you to go someplace to worship, that's your assignment, to worship. Your assignment right now is to enjoy lunch.